Friday, and we're just kind of talking and fellowship and stuff like that. And then I was telling Ronnie, I said, Ronnie, you know, there's a storm coming up here, and you might want to shut your windows because it was coming. We were talking about taking care of the grass, which is, you know, forever here. And so I walk out the door. He's going to his car, and then, like, boom, a lightning bolt hits. And it was really close because, you know, when you hear the boom and the flash, you just at the same time, you're like, okay, I don't know wherever it went, but I'm getting out of here. It was so loud. Boom, right there. Like, okay, I guess I'm going back to the house. See you, Ronnie. I'm out of here, you know. So I come back, I run back to the house, I get in there, and then I go back to my office and I look at the internet. The internet, there's no internet. You know, I'm thinking, oh no. So I look at the little router, which is the device that, you know, controls everything, you know, in the office. We have two of them, one here and one over there. It was like light was on, but no network. The network was gone. It was just a little power light, and I went close to it. I could sniff and I smelled burning, you know, electronics. I'm thinking, oh no. So I get in the car and I think, I'll go get another one and we'll just see if things work. And one thing about being a spirit-filled believer or just whatever, everything I do, I just ask the Lord, like, okay, how are we going to do this? So I kind of made this agreement with the Lord that when I go out to the store or I just go out anywhere, I asked the Lord, is there anybody you want me to talk to? Is there anybody you want me to meet? You know, we're just going together. I just feel like we go together. And, like, where do I want to do this? So, you know, I'm not trying to be super spiritual, but I know that God will surprise you. Amen? When you go places. So I go there, go to Walmart, and they don't have what I need there. And that seems to be the story about Walmart lately for me. That I seem like I go there and I can never seem to get it right. And it's funny because here we are living in a time when you can order things online and get stuff shipped. And, you know, you can seem like you can just without just a few little things on your device and you can get anything shipped from anywhere and then pick it up at Walmart. So or it just have it shipped to your house. And I just been epic fails going on lately with that kind of stuff with all this great technology. But yet it doesn't seem to work half the time, and you end up running all over the place. You kind of wonder, are we really, you know, everybody that seems to believe that we're always advancing as a civilization. Like, I don't think I believe that, you know, like, for some reason, you know, like, the theory of evolution says we're always going in a positive way. I'm like, really? Anyway. So I go over to the other place, the Office Max. I'm thinking maybe I should go there. So I've got it down to two devices. I'm thinking, okay, I've got this brand here and this brand here. And I know I'm spending, you know, like church money, and I really want to get the right thing. You know how it is when you buy something. Like, you want to get the right device that does. Yeah, you don't want to buy something cheap but that doesn't really work. And then you lose money there. You want to spend the right amount of money for the right thing. So I'm going, which one should I get, Lord? And so I pick out one, and I don't want to spend more, you know. So I get, all right, I'm not going to go for the nicest one, you know, the best, most expensive one. So I take that to the front. They go, oh, sorry, we don't have it. I said, man. I was like praying, you know. I thought I was really walking with God. And you know what I mean? I really had it. And then I go, but there was another one I was really not sure about. So I go back and grab that, and it was $40 or $30 more. And I was trying to save the church money. So, oh, well, just fine, whatever. Go take it. Do you have this one? Well, we have one. Well, they said they had one or the other one. They couldn't find it. You know how it is. They've got this computer system that tells you how much stock you have. And when they go back to get it, it's not there. And you see more of this nowadays. You see stuff where they supposedly have control over stuff, but it never really works when you actually go there. So anyway, that's the story of our digital world. So they go back, they go, oh, we've got this one. So they're ringing it up, and it was like under $200. It was like $60, $70 cheaper. I said, what's that? Oh, it was on sale. But the register knew it was on sale, but of course there was no sign up there. This is the life we live now. You can never know what price it is. Because it may change.
Yeah. Or they put the prices out the day before.
Yeah, and they just, you know, so we're living in this kind of weird world. But here's the deal. I was going, wow, well, I ended up like not realizing it, but I ended up getting a better product for less money. I got surprised by the Lord. So I was kind of thinking about this driving home, and I'm going, and I heard these words, God wants to give us a holy uncertainty in life. Now, to me, uncertainty is the opposite word of what you think it means to be a Christian. Right? Uncertainty is the opposite of faith, but actually it's not. It's not unbelief. Uncertainty is not that. See, God wants to give us a holy uncertainty. And I was thinking about that because I was trying to make the right decision. I've walked with the Lord for so many years. I was taught from the very beginning, we have this word. We have the Bible, right? And the Bible has all the answers. Come on, who hasn't heard that? Who hasn't preached that? Who hasn't said it? It has all the answers. Amen. Praise God. Yes, it does. It has all the answers. So what do you do? I read the Bible. And when I got saved, I read the Bible so much. My mother thought I was insane. Came home from college my first year. Got saved right before I went. I got home and I'd spend my summers in meetings, going in meetings at nighttime and reading the Bible and writing long books. I would just write out scripture verses because I was so hungry for the Word. And God was giving me a lot of truth. And I was getting the Word, which means I was getting certain about some things I didn't know about. And then I discovered the fact that God can speak words to me too, prophetically. And I started getting these prophetic words coming to me, and like they were coming to pass. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I wrote them down. And I wrote down these prophetic words. I have a book that I've kept since I've been 17 years old. And I'm not saying how old I am now. Where I would just write them down. And I remember when I was in Harrisonburg at the, we had just moved down here. We were at the old Howard Johnson's. Remember that place? Anyway, in Harrisonburg. And I got this word from this guy named Teddy. And it was about this. And then there was this word when I went to Atlanta visiting, somebody, Bob Lake. And how I got that word from C.L. Moore when I was there. And then I remember the word, I was at Elam. I'll never forget it. I was there at my first, it wasn't my first camp meeting. I went to Elam at the camp meeting. And this guy named Charles Green, who's an amazing preacher from Louisiana, he was speaking at the camp meeting. And I'm just sitting there at the piano, this little guy, my first year there, and he starts pointing to me and prophesies all over me. Before he prophesied over anybody else, which really embarrassed me, because usually when ministers come, they always minister to the leadership first, And here I'm getting this mega word about things, and I'm like, wow. And so I get it all written down, and as my life goes on, I learn that God can speak to me. And that I have this sense of change. When change happens and when stuff happens, I know he's spoken to me about that personally, not just also in the Word. So I have that. We've got that. We've got the Word of God. We've got personal prophetic words. And then we have something called the witness of the Holy Spirit that gives you a sense that you're doing the right thing simply because your spirit just says yes. It just says yes to this. And you don't know what the yes is all about sometimes. I remember times when the Holy Spirit said no. And that meant get out of this place. Wherever you are, go. I remember that doesn't happen too often. But I remember even church meetings where I went to a church meeting and it's like, this place is weird. I need to get out of this place now. Something is not right. So anybody go? Okay. and then there's where you send a witness of the Spirit. And you walk into a room. Someone was talking about Lakeland around that time. Was it Tony? I remember God made a way for us to go down to Lakeland, Florida, when that revival was going on. And I just remember coming into the place, and the Holy Spirit was going, yes, I'm here. And nobody was preaching. Some people were praying, but I could feel the hunger for God there. I could feel the sense of the intensity that was very, very unusual, very different. Caught my attention immediately. And it wasn't about the words being sung on the songs. It wasn't about the preacher. It wasn't about the things that were going on. There was just an atmosphere. That was God. It was so, to me, overwhelming, you know. And then miracles were starting going on. Sitting next to this guy, he goes, "My ear just opened up. I could hear it." He would just sit there, you know. And I was there when Jim Gall was preaching, and the first time I got ever hit by a—I mean, these are just manifestations, but they happen. I got hit by a fireball. I'd never been a fireballed before. Whacked by a fireball. I just came out of nowhere and just mowed me and three other people down. I wasn't praying for it, thinking about it. It wasn't really about that. It was about what God was doing in me after it hit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, wow, it hit. And I was like, wow. And I'm sharing this because I know that God has given you the witness of the Holy Spirit. He's given you angelic encounters maybe you didn't even realize you had. He's given you the Word of God, and He's given you the prophetic word. Raise your hand if you've gotten a prophetic word that's been there in a while and for your life. I mean, you've gotten it and it's been something that's been there a while. Raise your hand. Anybody like me? Where and I want to encourage you, if you haven't, I write things down because it helps me remember. I don't know why. I can't seem to remember things I hear as well as things I see. When I see them, I remember them better. I remember them better. Some people are better hearing, and then they can remember better. And we all have different forms of talents in our memory. But this thing about a holy uncertainty with all of those things, what if you get like a witness and you get the word, it says what's in the word, and you get a prophetic word, and still you just don't know what's going on? That's what I want to talk about a little bit. And of course, Yvonne, bless her heart, she kind of was hitting on that today. God bless you. We love you, Yvonne. She was hitting on it. It's like I took this medicine and it worked and it did work. And then why? You know, anybody been there? She was there, right? Or you get this word about your life and tragedy comes to place or things happen. And I want us to just spend a little time in Romans chapter 8. So we're going to spend a little time there. And early on in my life, I also got a teaching about waiting on the Lord, about spending time with God. When you seemingly don't get anything from God, that's okay. And in some ways, I want to talk about that, but I want to just look at this scripture here. And then I think I'm going to ask my friends, too, to see if there's anything you want to share. While I'm here too, so we got time. And these people here, I just want you to know, you know us, but you don't know us. But these people here, you know, they it's hard to get them out of here. Some people just, you gotta like, because they just, yeah, they love the presence of God so much, and they're hungry. So, okay, so verse 26, Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we should or ought, or the word is necessary. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that in order he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those who he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What should we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Okay. So, the Spirit is with us in our weakness. Weakness means humanity. It means our flesh. It's our frailty. It's our limitation. And it says, Paul, the Apostle Paul, said that we do not know what to pray for. He said that. Now, I have found myself in prayer meetings where it seemed like people always knew what to pray for. It was never a problem. And some people really knew what to pray for. And they really knew and really knew and really knew. So, but sometimes Paul, he said, look, we don't know. We don't know. And I'm not saying that was all the time, but I believe there are times when we just have an uncertainty, and God wants to teach us how to walk in a holy uncertainty, not a fleshly or a carnal uncertainty, or somebody that's never sure and they never make a commitment and they never say anything. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about how to, for God to come in and sanctify our weakness. How to make our weakness something holy. How to take that shortcoming and make it fantastic. To make it glorious. He knows how to do that. Better than we can imagine or think. He knows how to take that and do something with it. Because the Holy Spirit himself, and that's the key. We often get focused on principle and not presence. And we see precept and not presence. And because we walk that way, we miss out on the real meaning. And that's what I love about John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. It was a person. And if you don't start with the Word being a person, you never really get what the precept means. You can't get it. You'll never understand it. You may think you do, but you won't. And John wants us to understand from the get-go that the Word is a person. It's a presence, and it's with God, and it's God himself. And the Holy Spirit is here. He always has the mind of the Lord. So that's cool. So I may not know what's going on, but I can express his purpose in prayer without even using words. And it says here groans. It doesn't say words. So we're not talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit to speak in other languages. We're not talking about that. Though I do believe God is very smart to have me pray with words that I don't understand. Because we always know how to pray, right?
No, wrong.
Hit the buzzer. Come on now. Sometimes prayer meetings are expressions of more unbelief than they are faith. Come on. Let me tell you how hard this is not going to happen and how terrible this problem is. And let me tell you every detail so that you just know how messed up this is. So that your mind gets completely filled with a negative aspect and then maybe, okay, well, God, can you help? Wait a second. How about the other way around? Does a problem ever look big to God?
No.
Okay, just saying. We have the mind of Christ. Just saying. Okay. So there is a realm of uncertainty that God wants to put in our life that's holy so that we can walk in a realm of not knowing, of groaning, of praying in other languages, and then speaking. When we speak His words, His voice, with His voice and His attitude. Because communicators know this. It's not just what you say, it's how you say it that matters. And God wants to deal with the how we say things, sometimes by the fact that we just don't know, and it's okay. You know, that's the thing. When I love this. I mean, you know, we love the internet and stuff like that, because anywhere we go, if we don't know something, just give me a second. We'll look it up and we'll find out right away. So we have grown. We are growing a culture now where there just isn't a sense of not knowing something. It's you can find out any little anything, however trivial. I mean, Trivial Pursuit.
But you don't have to remember anything.
You don't have to worry about remembering anymore. Yeah, it's true. So like our memory is like, yeah, it's changing because we're not practicing memorization. Because why memorize? You can just look it up instantly. You can look it up. Right. He's right. So we have a shifting culture right now, a shifting thing. And but I believe that we have to walk still in this holiness of not knowing. Because even when you've got the prophetic word, even when you've got the word of God, even though you're following the Lord, you've got the witness of the Spirit, God still works in the realm of not knowing. And He wants to show you how wonderful He is in that situation. And there are two ways, I think, that we can see this. Okay? God wants to remove our trust in things. He wants to sanctify our connection with stuff and things around us. And He wants to sanctify our connection with people. And I think the two areas that how He wants to make our unknown quantity holy has to do with things and people. Things have to do with prayers. And this is prayer, right? What we pray for, what we want, things we want. I mean, I pray about everything. I pray about fixing things. I pray about using things. I pray if I need this or that. You know, and so I realize that I don't always need things all the time simply because I can go on Amazon and get them. Immediately, within a few days. Overnight shipping. Yes. I just realized that because it can change and shift your whole flow in the Holy Spirit just because something doesn't work, or that a tire blows, or you go to try to get a tire at Walmart 6 times and it's not there. Or even though they say it's guaranteed, you know, it's there, you know, and they sent you an email. Come on, if they send you an email that it's there, it's got to be there. That's true, right? And then I think the other part of it that I want to share that's really, really important is this thing about people. What happens when people let us down? And how do we react to it? I think that when people let us down and we come into a scenario where we go like, they know the Lord. They're Christians, but they're not acting a certain way. And you're like, what is this? Or they are. And you're like, wow. How do I deal with this? And normally what I do is I either get anxious about things or worry about people. Anxiety. Ronnie's been talking about anxiety and how dangerous it is and how hurt it is and how it's so not God's word. And then I think the other area that we do is we judge wrongly. And we lose the heart of God and compassion for people because they mess up. And they don't meet our expectations. They don't come through. You're expecting things to be a certain way and then they don't come through. And then next thing you know, you're judging them and you're telling your friends on how they did this to you or that to you and let you down here or there. And you get this, you lose love and compassion for them. And because of that, you end up judging people. But I really believe there is a transformation of the Holy Spirit that God wants to bring through us that's going to affect the environment around us and the people around us. And I want to focus on this verse here. I want you to go back just a few verses. We didn't read it really yet, but I want you to go back in the same chapter. Verse 19. This is an amazing scripture, and it's really hard, to be honest with you, it's hard to see it because it's so amazing. You almost don't want to interpret it right because it's like, is this really true? But it says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That's you and me. So that means this earth around us is groaning in expectation for you to come into your full inheritance. Everything. We're talking about things. Little critters. Birds. Trees. Oxygen. Everything is in anticipation for you to come into your full identity of who you are. It's groaning. It's waiting. It's dependent on you and me. It's dependent on me. For the creation was subjected to vanity, futility, vanities. That I like vanity. It's that old King Jimmy word. You know what I mean? And just when you preach it, it sounds awesome. Like vanity, vain. You know, it just sounds fiery. Futility just doesn't seem to fit for some reason. And so you've got this, and in Romans 1 talks about the people of this world thinking in this vain way. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about having your mind transformed out of this vain way of thinking and to walk in this holy knowledge, but also a holy uncertainty about things, so that even when you don't know, there's a presence, there's a holiness about it that actually transforms your situation. And it says that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to the corruption, obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. In other words, the glory of us is going to change the world around us. It's going to totally transform it in every way. In every way. Our glory. It says that the creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly, there we are, wait for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. So this future change, there's a future change. One day, all of our flesh will be instantly changed. And then Paul calls it adoption, and he calls it redemption of our flesh. But we have something called first fruits. And I want to give you this last verse, and then I'm going to wrap it up here. Look here. Verse 30. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, Paul, you just told me that this thing is a future thing. But here, it's past tense. Amen. So, it's been finished. And I think that's the secret, if I will, the truth that I want to leave with you on why you can have a different attitude towards people who let you down and situations that don't seem to line up with what the Word of God says and what the prophetic Word says and what the witnesses. I mean, you know what I'm saying? There is a glory that has taken place in God's heart, in God's mind. That's settled. It's already happened. It's already passed. It's already happened. We have gotten all of those. Oh, yeah, I got the predestined thing. Yeah, I got that. Okay, I got the calling thing. I know what it means to be called. I've experienced that, right? And I also understand the justification. I know that the Lord has made me righteous. But the glory part, I'm thinking.
Really?
Yeah. Like, where? Where's that? Just as much glory as all those other things. But where is it? It's in Him. It's in Him, and it's in you.
The glory of being able to share Him with others, it's a beautiful thing. It's not like it's coming toward us. It's
in who you are, and it's in who He is. And see, Marianne was talking about this Shekinah, which I thought was good. She didn't know my message today. I never tell her messages ahead of time. Makes it more fun, right? But there's something in you that will change everything around you. If you abide in that, if you stay in that, I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, how is it that it's already past tense here? It's already done. But like, there's still like, you know, stuff that happens. Medicine doesn't work right. People die when you want them to live. You know, stuff happens. People treat you like, why are they acting that way towards me? Like, what? You know what I mean? Why are they doing that? I, you know, like, And then you learn to walk in freedom. Freedom means that you are not being controlled and that you're not trying to control either. That's freedom. You know, if I'm trying to run the universe for God, I'm not free. I'm spending all my time telling everybody what to do. And not doing a good job of it. That means I got to work at it harder. Right? In that mentality, the mentality of this world says that's vain thinking. If you're not doing a good job, work harder. Do more of it. Right? So then you end up doing more, and then you're not doing a good job, so do some more. So God tells you to love somebody, and you love them, and it doesn't work out. So what do? Try to do it more, and it doesn't work out again. You know, anything you try to do, and, you know, but this freedom means it's like you rest, and you abide, and you do some serious groaning. And you let the glory just go. Let the glory happen. Recognize the glory. Recognize God doing it. Recognize the fact that we don't have to make things happen all the time. And we don't have to be subject to things happening to us all the time. You've heard the joke, right? There's some things that things happen to. There are some people that make things happen, and then there are the people that say, what happened? And that's why it gets you free. There's a freedom that we all, God wants us to walk in a greater realm of freedom. To be free from control, to be free from controlling, and free from when people disappoint you, let you down, you can love them. Just see them as God sees them. Just to see them that way. I really feel like there's going to be an increase in our ability to prophesy, but also to see transformation through the love of God. Where it's more than just the information of the prophetic word, but there's a transformation that goes on through the unseen realm. It just flows. And I've seen atmospheres change just by presence. I've seen it just change. And it frees you from wanting to see things happen a certain way in order to be happy. God, we know that you really moved this way 20 years ago. So if you're going to move that way, then it's got to happen this way. Or, you know, and you start getting into these things where you're expecting, you know, you're putting all this. And what if God doesn't come that way? What if he wants to do it a different way? Well, how are you going to see it? But there's a freedom about that. There's just a freedom. There's a sense of love. There's a sense of glory that's going to change. And it's almost like this. I was looking at this thing, and there's a story where Abraham wants to have a place to bury Sarah, and it's a real estate transaction. So I got realtors like this, but he's talking to this guy. He's saying, "Look, I want to get this place to bury. You know, I have to have a piece of property. You know." And he goes, take this. He goes, and you don't have to pay me for it. He goes, and they're negotiating. And then he says, it's yours. And it wasn't like you can have it now, present tense. It was a past tense. In his mind, Abraham already had it because he made his decision. And he wasn't going back. God has the same attitude towards us. When he makes the decision that he's going to bless us, it's already past tense in his mind. And he's going to tell you that way because it's not a matter of an if. It's done. You've already got it. You've already got glory. You've already got what you asked for, because in his mind, it's decided. So, like, it's already done. And that's your foundation, your rock of everything that God wants for you that you're going to get. It's already done. Amen. So I just wanted to share that little bit with you.